Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 31st of October, 2022. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about cause and effect, difficult concept, Cambridge University hates biology and teaches German wrong, and also how to end racism. It's finally here, boys. We found out how to do it.
Callum discovered the solution.
Yeah.
Now I can keep all the racism to myself.
No. But we'll find out, I suppose. We'll start off with the fact. Cause and effect. A very difficult concept, I have found out, for many people in this country, it seems, to figure out why a thing might happen in response to other things, or what the other things might have caused this. Difficult, I know. This is in relation to a firebombing that has taken place in England, of a migrant centre in Dover, and why that happened, who knows. We'll get into it. We'll start off just by mentioning first that there is a new freemium gift on the website, so if you go over to lotuseaters.com, you can check out this Contemplations on Halloween special. I believe this is last year, so you can go and check that out. That's free. For a week, so go and get it before it's gone. Otherwise, we shall begin with the numbers, because the migrant crisis for the UK is not small or new. It has been going on quite a while. We have moaned endlessly about it. And, you know, a fair few people have found it a bit annoying. Not just the migrant crisis itself, obviously, but also the endless moaning, because never ends.
I don't know. I feel like the gradual destruction of our local culture is slightly more than annoying.
Well, yeah, I just mean in the reporting. But we have the numbers here, just in the Telegraph, to start us off. In 2022, more than 40,000 people turned up, compared to 28,500 in the whole of the previous year. This used to be in the tens per year. You may remember.
Tens of thousands?
No, tens.
Just the tens. Oh, all right.
People illegally breaking in via small boats. It didn't exist. It wasn't a problem a handful of years ago. And now it's 40,000 already this year.
I thought Brexit meant Brexit.
Yeah. And then we have the news of what these people are like when they come here. Very, very loving and kind about the fact that we have given them safe haven from the hellhole that is France by breaking into people's homes.
Peacefully breaking into people's homes.
Mostly. And demanding their phones and cars. If we go to the next link, we can see the evidence as well. £7 million a day now, just on hotels. Fantastic. Chump change, really. Nothing serious. If we go to Ireland, we can see just how bad that is there. Apparently 30% of all Irish hotels are now being used for these illegal aliens.
I know. Whenever I see stuff,
So it's just 30% of all hotels.
Yep, think about that. It is ridiculous. I just feel bad for the staff at these hotels as well. How red pilled must they be at this point?
Oh, and the only positive being, I guess, that they've got unlimited employment. That's never going to go away.
Yeah.
But for reference, I thought I'd just talk about something recently. I went to Serbia. I went to a migrant camp in Serbia. This was the migrant camp in Serbia. These are the conditions by comparison to your 4-star hotels that you get around here. I asked the migrants how they felt about the conditions they were in and how they're being treated. In all sincerity, they all answered were good conditions. We're being treated fine.
Well, yeah, it's not a fancy hotel or anything, but you've got a shelter over your head.
Yeah, if you've just there gone you go. Through Turkey, Greece, Macedonia, and you're in Serbia, it's like, yeah, this is great. Why would it not be? The comparison obviously being war, remember? Because they're fleeing war, we're
told. Supposedly.
But when they get to Serbia, from the other places included, they don't stay there, do they? They come to the West. And why? Well, this is where I'm going to say that the language needs to change. Not only are these people illegal aliens, when they get to Britain, France, Germany, these places that are far away from anywhere they could have stopped and claimed asylum, I think they should rightfully be called beggars at this point as well. Because you are not here for any other reason than to beg for money. When I interviewed the guys there, all of them said the reason they're going further is because of money. It's that simple.
Is beggars not a bit too polite? Leeches?
I think beggar is just accurately correct
of
that. But we go to the next link here. The numbers are just also hilariously scary. We have here Migration Watch reporting that 1-2% of all Albanian males, all of them in the world, are in the UK. And they came here last year in small boats. 1-2% of all Albanian males. Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I covered that on the podcast the other day. It's nothing to do with the fact that Albanian drug dealers are literally putting out TikToks saying, come over to England, we'll pay you for it. Great money.
It's because Albania borders Britain and there's been a civil war in Albania.
Oh, yeah,
for the Americans who don't know, if you look at a map, you'll find Albania right next to Britain. It's that island.
It's that bit just on the topmost crust of Scotland. It's hidden, but it's there.
I can't be that mean, but it's just, it's ridiculous. The Reform Party actually decided to crunch the numbers as well. This is a post they put out ages ago. At the current rate of growth, within just 4 years, there will be more Albanians in the UK prison system than Albanians in Albanian jails. that's a true fact as well. We're en route to
fantastic.
Have more Albanians in our prisons than in Albania. Okay, We also have the fact that they keep arriving with luxury clothes. This is Politolite documenting this. I can confirm from having the migrants in every town and city in this country, just walking past in Swindon. I've endlessly moaned about this. The locals here always seem to be wearing the newest clothes for some goddamn reason. Me and Michael, wow, just getting lunch before this, come walking back and we see two guys wearing Hoodrich hoodies. They're £64 at retail.
Oh, really? I don't look into hoodies myself, so...
But they're at the cash point, withdrawing our money, so they can go off and spend their day hard at work, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, if you're getting a daily allowance and you've got nothing to do, you've got your hotel already paid for you, I mean, what else is there to do other than spend it on luxury goods?
We literally see them. They either hang out in the cafes, hang out in Spoons. I've seen them walk around crates of beer.
They sit around, jewelry. They stare at you, give you dirty looks as you walk past, like you're intruding on them.
Whereas they are the illegal alien beggar in the town. They're here for no other reason than money. And they're also just illegal aliens who broke in. And our response was, oh, they're there. We'll give you money. But there are plenty of beggars in this country who could use assistance. No, the foreign beggars. Far more important. We get the next link we can see as well. This is just a note from Active Patriot who goes down and documents the sort of thing. This is on the 29th of October. This is just a crescendo point of just the ridiculousness that is this situation. 1,000 immigrants, sorry, illegal alien beggars, have just turned up today alone. The 29th of October there. This is the reality of life, which is that you have hordes and hordes of foreign beggars turning up. We just keep giving them money. Sorry, we don't. The government steals our money and gives it to them instead. And we're told that we must accept this because there's no actual reason given. Just we have to. Just can't be bothered to fix
it. Just got to do it. Do you remember a few years ago when I think it was coming up to the Brexit referendum and Nigel Farage had that very notorious poster of just, here's all of the migrants lined up in Calais.
Yeah.
And how racist it was that he would put such a poster like that up. Oh. And now it's just here.
Now it's in Dover. Great. It's also in Swindon. And that's the reality. And so a local man in England decided to go out and do something illegal. He went down, as you can see here. Man petrol bombs Dover Migrant Processing Centre before committing suicide. Active Patriot breaking the story there. And there's some video footage for people listening of a guy who is presumably thrown his bombs and then left, and the fire is small and on the like outside of the migrant centre. This was quickly put out. No one was seriously injured because it's not significant, except him who commits suicide after all that.
Completely wasted gesture.
If we go to the next link here, you can see there was actually a Reuters photographer just outside and happened to be in the right place at the right time. Just
convenient.
Yeah. He took this photo. So this is the suspect. I suppose we have to call him suspect until he's convicted, but he's dead, so there's that. And you can see that he's smartly dressed. Not poor looking. He's in a pretty nice car. He's not poor again. And he turned up and threw, as you can see there, these are the petrol bombs. So it's a canister full of petrol and then a firework attached to it at the migrant center. One of them failed. Two of them blew up. And there's that. There are no details about his name or why he did this that have been released. This is unusual. You might think, okay, well, look, the investigation is still going on or something. No, within any terrorist attack that we've had, we have the names very quickly of the suspects. Whereas in this case, it's just not been released. Who knows why he might have done this? But he's a guy. And the reason I bring up his car and his dress is because he's clearly not doing poorly. Well, he seems to be well off. He's got, you know, his life together. He's in his like 50s or something. And has decided to give it all up to go and throw firebombs at the migrant center and then drove off and killed himself. I mean, just beggars belief as to all that. Whatever. Yeah. Then we'll go on to the deets, because there are the deets from The Guardian who've released more information here. One minor injury was reported. A photograph of the incident showed a man releasing a plastic bottle taped to a lit firework as he drove away. The attacker, a white man in a blue and white gingham shirt, drove up to the center of White Seat Sports utility vehicle and threw three petrol bombs, one of which did not go off, according to the photographer from Reuters. The suspect was identified and located at a nearby petrol station where he was confirmed dead, the police say. No name given. No background as to why he might have done such a thing. Just don't think about that. Two people have reported minor injuries from the property. A further device was found and confirmed safe within the suspect's vehicle. The Metropolitan Police said its counter-terrorism officers are not involved in the investigation. There's no reason for them to be. This guy did this. He's dead. Okay. Pretty closed case. Might want to try and find out why. Or what his name was.
Or if he's connected to anybody else.
Yeah. Claire Mosley, the founder of the campaign Care for Calais, had something to say in all this. Right, okay, so man witnesses what's happening to country, we can assume, from this, as to why else would you pick that target, with all blinks, and goes out and does that. So what does Claire think the root problem is? She said she was concerned with recent rhetoric by ministers, and she said that may have been a factor in the attack. Like, what? Not your constant insistence on having thousands of illegal alien beggars turn up. It wasn't the lying eyes that people have. The reality in the world that they can see happening. Instead, no, people were desperately listening to conservative ministers. I hate to break it to you. No one gives a crap what conservative ministers have to say. Especially on this topic.
Well, because they know that whatever they have to say about it, they're just going to do the opposite. If they say that we're going to deport a bunch of people, they will do the opposite and just bring more and more in.
Yeah. Instead, it is the people telling you, it is not the problem itself that radicalizes radicals, it is people telling them about the problem. This is such a backwards logic, and it's the reason I called this segment Cause and Effect, because we had this previously with the grooming gangs as well, in which it was insisted that the problem was not the rapists, it was not the importation of such rapists, the problem was the people telling you about it. It was the far right causing a fuss.
I was half expecting it to be that it was the victim's fault or something. They were just going to go full on, just dive headfirst in.
There were quite a few people who tried that. Labour MP Naz Shah, most famously, obviously, shut their mouths for the sake of diversity. But there were also a couple of clips. There was one of a guy whose brother was being convicted of being a child rapist. And he responded that, well, it's not our shit's fault. It's the social workers for letting him out at night. That's amazing. And there was also one Muslim lady I saw at a round table discussion about this who said, what are the girls doing out? Isn't it their fault? And it's like...
Yeah, so because girls just wandering about at night and just asking for it is the official response. Okay, fantastic.
But my point being, cause and effect. Well, what is the reality? Let's assume, as everyone already is, let's say, because I don't actually have the details, but why else would you do this is a fair argument, that this guy did this because of what is happening to the country with the endless numbers of illegal alien beggars turning up. For no good reason, and the government doing nothing about it, and instead just incentivizing this, it seems, by giving them more and more money. Well, why would he do that? Is it because of the problem, or is it because of the people telling him about the problem? People telling him about the problem, isn't it? That's the real source. It's not the problem itself. It's mad. So, Mosley said Sunday's incident was a reminder that hate speech could have deadly consequences. Number one, deadly consequences for who? The criminal. Killed himself. No one else died. So, weird point, but the hate speech has consequences. I'm just going to assume you mean speech calling for violence. There's none of that. That's already illegal, so shut up. And then on the basis that people pointing out this exists, that's the real problem, again, for her, because she is a person who works her entire life to bring these people in. She said it would be kinder and more effective to simply help people rather than continue this damaging campaign that tears at the fabric of our society and leads to events such as these. What are you talking about? Again, it would be kinder and more effective to the Britons and actual asylum seekers rather than illegal aliens to stop this from happening. The thing, like, asylum seekers, absolutely welcome. The thing is, we have legal processes for people to claim asylum, and they do, and they're legitimate, and they're welcomed. These people, the 40,000 a year, don't use the asylum seeker routes. They're not interested in that. They're not going to apply because they'd be rejected and they know it.
Well, no, they get on the boats, they come over, and when they're off the boats on the beach, then they claim asylum because they know that they'll just get ferried over to a hotel. And even if they get caught while they're still in the channel, the border force will just ferry them over to Dover. There you go.
Even those who are rejected here, they don't return home. They're never actually even forcibly removed. Data on that is pathetic.
Supposedly, from stuff that I found the other day, they deported about 1,000 Albanians last year.
28,000 turned up?
Yeah, those are official figures, so even if that is true, so it doesn't. It's a drop in the water.
The most effective way to keep them out is to keep them out, as Douglas Murray points out. If we get the next link here, we have someone else coming in to tell us about how it was the speech that was the problem, not the problem, instead. I asked the government if it had contributed to tensions with recent rhetoric, and she said she wouldn't have used some of the language the Home Secretary has used. So, yeah, except it doesn't matter. I can't get through to you enough. What Conservative MPs and ministers say about this problem matters nothing. No one listens. Why would they listen to you at any point anymore? It is just complete irrelevancy to the conversation. And even then, if your speech had any impact, it would not have the impact of causing people to do this. The problems themselves are the reasons people go out and do it. It's undeniable. It's what cause and effect is. It's not the people whining that there's a problem. It's the problem. We go to the next link here. We have homeowners in Dover. They're actually now sleeping with sledgehammers by their beds.
Understandably so, after some of the stories we've been hearing recently.
No, but trust me, it was Conservative MPs that have made them do this.
The man just knocked on the door and just asked politely if he could use the phone.
But again, cause and effect. Why are people in Dover sleeping with sledgehammers by their beds? Is it because they've been listening to Conservative ministers spread hate speech? Or is it that
could be the only reason.
Yeah, it's not that they can see the problem right in front of them every single day as thousands of illegal alien beggars turn up. Yeah. Or in their own kitchen when they break in. We have footage, if you go to the next link here, of the site on the left, on the right, sorry, which is apparently the site where the guy went to the petrol station and killed himself. The police turned up dealing with that.
They've cordoned it off.
They should. But I thought we'd just end this off with the responses to this that are not just the right did this, the people whining about the problem, the ones who did it. Instead, we'll check in with the British public, because there was a Daily Mail article about this, and there were quite a lot of comments. Comments are quite revealing. So we have first comment being sad, sad, sad. Our government needs to wake up and quick. Rest in peace for the guy. Interior Ministry? Tragic. Poor man. Rest in peace.
Yeah, I mean, there is a part of
there's me... There's a theme.
There is a part of me that's wondering about this whole scenario purely because of the lack of details that we've received about it.
Man turns up, does something ineffectual, then kills himself and disappears off the face of the earth.
Seems to have no connection to anyone or anything before or after. All right, okay.
You get the next list of comments there, then we can see the other ones. This is a topic that will be increasingly interject with people's attitudes in a negative way. A solution needs to be found to address the concerns of all. And yeah, don't bring illegal alien beggars. Rest in peace, sir. Interested to see how this story unfolds and the motivations behind it? Well, I guess we won't. And the government are to blame for this. Poor fella. Rest in peace. But that's the response from the British public, which is just, rest in peace, poor guy. Wonder what drove him to this. No idea. It's probably all that speech. It wasn't something that happened in his life, or the reality of what life in Kent is like at this point. No. Speech. I thought we'd also check in just for a laugh, to try and cheer up the mood. The international response from 4chan himself has turned up. We have an American. Summarizes the event
as... Oh, for God's sake.
Arrives, set fire to migrant, refuses to elaborate, leaves. Didn't even do that. And we have a Russian... He responds by looking at what the UK's become by saying, UK police is so useless, criminals can only kill themselves.
I mean, that's true at this point, isn't it?
To be fair, I do actually quite like the meme magic of that. He's so British, this chap. I mean, you can see him, he's definitely like middle-class English or something.
He tells by him, the looks of it.
Terribly sorry about all that, folks. Don't want to make a fuss, I'll be on my way out. Don't want to make any pay more paperwork than I already have. It's like, okay.
I wouldn't want to cause a fuss, would I?
Not to mention, obviously, don't do this. If YouTube's watching and thinks I'm somehow endorsing this, I'm not. For some reason, crime. Not a fan of crime. And
that's a pretty base take right there.
I support the law.
I, too, dislike the bad things happening.
I turn up on a Saturday afternoon at the sidelines and shout support for the law. Come on, you law. anyway.
All right. Can't get enough of that abstract concept of law.
I support the law.
I salute justice.
Some people support Arsenal, I support the law. Give the next one here, we can see the effect this had, which is it didn't as well, of course.
It never has an effect. Never stop coming until we stop them coming.
I didn't know about this website. This is a website the government run, so it's just some subsidiary of .gov, right? But it's a website that is specifically made just to log, in the last 24 hours, how many people have turned up? It gets updated every day, and then the whole thing changes, because it's a new day.
I thought you were already, like, just daily checking in on websites like this, to be honest.
No, someone has to update this every single day and tell you how many have turned up.
So, and tell you how the government has failed yet again.
Yeah, so in the previous 24-hour period, 468 people turned up in 8 boats. Very small boats, as we're told. Not so small, it seems. Anyway, that's the news, which is... Mokel Man does thing, and the cause and effect is apparently still a difficult concept for some to grasp as to why man might do thing. Instead, it's the Conservative MPs, which everyone's totally listening to.
I mean, leftists do decry against basic mathematics, so basic logic also not their strong suit. I wouldn't rely on it. But anyway, take a quick sip.
Looking forward to the new German.
The new German? Yeah. Germexman.
Yeah.
as he will soon be known. So, let's get into it. So, the Cambridge University, a most prestigious institution in the UK, has come out and decided that they hate biology and they also want to teach you German wrong. How is that student loan looking right now? For all of you at Cambridge University who signed up because you wanted to learn proper German, instead you're being taught incorrect German. We'll find out. So,
jokes on you, you should have got Duolingo.
Yeah, there you should have got... Does Duolingo even cost anything as an app? Is it free?
It never did for me.
Oh, there you go. So you could have been getting for free what you're probably spending tens of thousands of pounds on. But we do, as always, want to push you in the direction of the website because we've got so much fantastic content on there. This is relevant. We are currently allowing you to watch for free, without a membership, the... the analysis that Carl and I had of Matt Walsh and the Daily Wire's documentary What is a Woman, which we branded as examining the mass institutionalized psychosis that's going on across America right now, and sadly also the UK, because this is coming through the universities into the rest of culture and yada, yada, yada. It's very good. It's free for the time being. I don't know how many days it's got left being free exactly, but you should definitely check it out while you still can. But let's get into it. So Cambridge College, the Gonville and Caius colleges have apologized after they distressed students with a harmful invite to a gender-critical lecture by a feminist journalist, Helen Joyce, who is a former editor of The Economist, I think, and also she has written a book recently called Trans. I think it's like the subtitle, When Ideology Meets Reality. I need to check it out. But she was invited there to have a debate on transgender issues and the transgender question ideology. And as you would imagine, at universities, they don't like it. Students don't like this whole free debate and inquiry thing. They're really not into that.
The leftist students.
Well, yeah. But that's most of what... Whenever I think of universities now, I just imagine them completely filled up with leftists.
I think we let this rhetoric get away with us
perhaps,
sometimes.
Perhaps we do.
So my opinion is, that from my experience, that there's a core of leftist students on any university campus, and they dominate the culture by the support they have from the university. But then there are just the normie students who don't care, and then there are the right-wing ones who are just living as dissidents 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. When I was at university, I was just kind of a normie, wasn't really paying attention to stuff. But you do definitely see that it's the leftists and those types that get involved in the student unions and such, so they control the discourse. So that's why I got that impression of it. Plus, I was just in Manchester over the weekend, and I went to Affleck's Palace, which is the go-to destination for Manchester University students, and everywhere, every single wall was plastered. Racial pride flag, racial pride flag. Oh, finally, I found a bookstore. I wonder, LGBTQIA plus bookstore. Oh, God. And I was getting funny looks from people because I think people could tell that I've just felt uncomfortable there. You walk past these shops that are selling fun, quirky gear, and it's like dog masks.
Do they have any signs saying diversity is our strength?
I tried to sort of keep my head down, avoid eye contact with people. So if there was, I missed it.
Just wondering if there's anywhere nearby the pub hall, for example, that you'd have that sort of thing.
Maybe. I mean, Manchester is a full-on diversity is our strength type city, sadly. So
even after all it's been through.
Especially after all it's been through. The only thing, it's like it's like they say, the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. The only thing that can stop a bad brown man is a good brown man. That's Manchester logic right there.
Okay.
Anyway, so the debate at Gonville and Caius College by Professor of Philosophy Arif Ahmed sparked outrage among students, accusing Dr. Joyce of being a TERF. And they clarify here for everybody, trans-exclusionary radical feminist. And I don't think she actually considers herself a radical feminist, but it's so hard to tell with people nowadays. It was even attacked by Professor Pippa Rogerson, a master of the college, and senior tutor Dr. Andrew Spencer, who told students they would avoid the discussion, labelling Dr. Joyce's views on transgender people as offensive, insulting, and hateful to members of our community. So they've got, you know, professors themselves backing this sort of stuff, as you would expect. Cambridge's sociology faculty apologised to the students for distressing them with an advert. Professor Manali Desai, the head of sociology, said that we are very sorry for the distress caused to you by the circulation of an email promoting the Helen Joyce event. So they just get an email saying, hey, we've got this thing on, you might want to come. And the students immediately start having heart palpitations. They immediately start reaching for the razors and like... I just don't know if they can help themselves. We have looked at our processes and realised we need an authorisation route for circulation of events to ensure that administrative staff do not inadvertently promote potentially harmful material, as happened in this case. The department is firmly committed to ensuring that we actively promote events that contribute to increasing awareness of the LGBTQ plus inclusion, and I'd like to reaffirm that inadvertent circulation, blah, 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 blah. So they're just saying that, yes, we're completely captured. Don't worry, we may have tried to host this speech, but this debate, but we're completely on your side. We actually really hate ourselves for having done so.
Potentially harmful speech.
Yes.
What they said at the start of that.
Yes.
Riddle me this.
So what we're going to get, I assume, is some trans activists firebombing the place soon enough. We can only expect it. I mean, if this is the kind of hurtful speech, but who's going to be blamed then? I'll tell you who. It'll probably be the right, won't it? Conservatives and their LGBTQ plus conservative conferences and such, they're the ones to blame. The Cambridge's LGBT network also condemned the talk, and Cambridge Students' Union called for it to be scrapped, while the college ran a welfare event, Tea Room on Campus for Distressed Students, which was held at the same time as the debate. So instead of going to the debate to listen to it, you could just have some tea, you can de-stress. To be honest, it's not a bad tactic to just get them away instead of protesting. Instead of protesting and acting like an absolute retard, why don't you just come have some tea and calm down? But I also found on Mumsnet, of all things, I've not included the link, but I found on Mumsnet a letter sent out by the LGBTQI plus officers of Cambridge, which says, Helen Joyce is a gender-critical activist whose work largely focuses around anti-trans rhetoric and trans-exclusionary radical feminism, blah, blah, blah. Gender identity ideology is frequently used as a dog whistle for transphobic sentiment, cloaked in the language of free speech and scientific inquiry, which is not. It's not. It's an ideology, and we're just calling it out for being a really stupid ideology that's damaging people. It goes without saying that this kind of rhetoric is fundamentally against what we as LGBT officers stand for, and we are unanimously disgusted by the platforming of such views. Transgender identity should not be put forward as a subject for debate, and their existence is not an ideology. Kind of is, though. And if you just keep saying that it's not an ideology, if you say it long enough, if you say it enough times, if you believe hard enough, it still won't be true. It is an ideology.
But there's an obvious point to be made, which is, okay, well, we say this is natural and occurring and fine, but in which case, why has there been such a massive uptick in the last 5 years of people transitioning?
They don't want you to know. Just don't question it.
It's completely natural and normal.
Don't notice patterns.
It's not ideologically motivated. Instead, it's part of nature.
Well, they also list some statistics to make you feel bad, some danger statistics, so that you know that you're an awful person. They say transgender people are an at-risk minority group, and according to the Stonewall School Report 2017, the most unbiased report that you could get, 92...
The organization that had a nonce advocate on their board of directors.
Yes.
All right.
These are what the Cambridge Students' Union are quoting, so, you know, we've got to go with it. I mean, Cambridge is a prestigious university. It's full of very smart people, I'm told, so they must be correct. 92% of trans young people have thought about taking their own life. Okay, you've just thought about it. Great. I'm pretty sure everybody's thought about it at some point. If I flick on Twitter and see a clip on LBC of James O'Brien talking, I also consider taking my own life, so does that count?
I think that's argument to ban James O'Brien from existing.
It must be. Thank God we finally can get him out there. 84% of trans young people have self-harmed and 45% of trans young people have tried to take their own life. Now, I've actually covered some of these statistics before on a previous segment. I think I called it the truth about 42% because there's quite a lot of fluffing going on with these statistics, unsurprisingly. So you can check that out on the YouTube channel if you want to learn more, because these sorts of figures are incredibly misleading. And they say, they carry on further to this, just days before the event was announced, the Home Office published the past year's statistics on hate crimes in the UK, which revealed that transphobic hate crime has increased by 56% from last year. I don't care. When hate crime is...
Your definition of hate crime is handing a carrier bag in a homophobic manner, as I've referenced many a time. Yes. I'm not listening.
Yes, they waved at me in a particularly fey manner, which I assumed was an insult to my homosexuality, therefore hate crime. But they're just going with the Helen Joy showing
crimes
up.
Crimes we know nothing about have shown up.
Scientists said this is the last thing we wanted to happen.
Laughable.
It is laughable. They're going with the Helen Joyce is literally killing us. But then they carry on in the next article I've got. We've got some more information because, of course, these things don't just stop at the letters being circulated and people boycotting it. Of course, you can't just boycott a discussion that you don't like. You have to make sure that you show up, make a lot of noise, and ruin everybody who actually wanted to try and have an intelligent discussion. A man, an attendee called Nai Zakharia. I noticed there's not very many English names being bandied about at this University of Cambridge, very interesting, said there were hundreds of protesters. They screamed and hit the door. It was hard to hear the speakers. In the middle of the talk, a group of protesters got in right behind the door of the auditorium. Ms. Joyce, said the event went ahead with some genuinely hostile audience questions, which she said was great for the healthy debate. Students rallied each other via emails to bring pots and pans to make some noise, along with banners, flags, and signs. So this is the sort of stuff that you'll have seen plenty of times at these kinds of protests. And it's just annoying. It's just annoying that the universities don't shut these kinds of protests down, because there is an intelligent and reasonable discussion to be had here. And these people don't care about it. These are the sorts of people who are going to be, you know, you're going to Cambridge, they're going to be doctors, they're going to be psychologists, they're going to be sociologists, they're going to be people in influential positions, potentially, and they don't get shut down. These are the people who are going to be dominating the discourse in the future. Fantastic. And they, the organisers also said that the protesters recommend face masks for privacy reasons. Yep, there you go.
For crime reasons.
Yes, for crime! For now!
There are no privacy problems.
I know, it's ridiculous. But as a result of all of this, thankfully, at least some people involved in the university are actually taking a stand against this and saying that, okay, if this carries on, the alumni might be pulling funding from the college after the academics did all this, which could do something. It's nice to see them make a move. It won't really do much, but
I'm never paying any money to my university.
Yeah.
Ever. Go to hell.
Yeah, just don't.
A terrible institution.
Don't pay it in the first place. But as well as all of this, if Cambridge is going to lose funding, if they haven't already, it certainly looks like it. Because as I mentioned, they're actually teaching German wrong already for some reason. If we go to the next link, the University of Cambridge's decision to stop teaching gendered German with the aim of encouraging students to speak more inclusively has prompted warning from linguists that students risk making a fool of themselves when talking with native speakers. You don't say.
Only the linguists.
Yes.
Not all of the Germans.
All of the... Well, I mean, I suppose the Germans can't really understand what they're saying anyway. So, you know, you just got to go along with it. Yeah, nine.
That doesn't make any kind of sense.
I mean, what is the point? Undergraduates.
That doesn't even make sense in English. Well, how do you, it doesn't make sense in English. We've dealt with this before.
Well, I mean,
we're
trying,
mixing and whatnot.
They're trying to destroy gendered language in English, which just doesn't work because it's just confusing.
At least English doesn't have gendered nouns, whereas, you know, the continental languages do.
And it's not because they're evil and sexist. That's just how it ended up that way.
What do you want to do? Go back and get rid of the Indo-Europeans? Like
these people are so offended by the idea of, oh no, my spoon is feminine. Oh, that's so offensive. This isn't inclusive at all. What about the male spoons? Who cares? Undergraduates, and this is from the Times article, it links there. Undergraduates have been told to use inclusive language and use gender and non-binary inclusive language when referring to students or colleagues. Of course, when writing, students can make feminine nouns unisex by adding an asterisk before the suffix, which is a non-standard way, which is non-standard and referred to as a gender star. So there you go. I couldn't access the article itself. Sorry, but yeah. So they are really going with the misex, that sort of stuff. Germexen. That's what you're going to be from now on, Deutschland. You're going to be the Germexens.
No. What's going to happen is a lot of students are going to have their money wasted. I don't think the Germans are going to change.
Well, as long as...
If you've got a son or daughter thinking of studying German at Cambridge University, give them Duolingo. And
for free. It will save you and them a lot of time and a lot of money.
Not sponsored by Duolingo, but honestly, I mean, like, it's free. And it's better than being lied to for £9,000 a year.
And there's a friendly bird rather than a blue-haired feminist screeching at your children.
people who run Duolingo are a bit weird as well, but at least they provide an okay product.
Although I have seen some memes that suggest that that bird is less than friendly all of the time.
Yeah, that bird is evil.
You missed your second Spanish lesson.
Have you seen the account, what is it, weird Duolingo sentences?
No.
It's like, this is a milk, and it's a guy smiling. And it's just like,
what the hell? What are you looking at online?
Go and check it. Basically, there's just a lot of weird sentences. Like, there's German sentences about, you know, now they're all dead. Stuff like that.
Jesus Christ. But the reason that was given was the course managers noted that in extended German text, grammatical structures can inhibit inclusivity. No, they don't. It's a language. You speak it.
You actually can't be included in the German language speaker community if you can't speak German.
It's the most exclusive club of people who can only speak German, shockingly enough.
Well, no, you're going to be in an even more exclusive and exclusionary club of people who cannot speak German, but can't speak any language either.
You can speak fake German.
Yeah.
And Germans will be very confused at this.
The Esperanto community is going to be bigger than that. So,
maybe, but as we mentioned in the letter that the students sent out, they said that about the increase in hate crimes. I thought, because, as you mentioned, that the definition of such thing is incredibly nebulous in the first place, what are the actual prosecution guidance for what constitutes a hate crime? And it's going to be something that you probably could have guessed, which is any incident or criminal offence which is perceived by the victim or any other person to be motivated by hostility or prejudice based on sexual orientation or perceived sexual orientation, or any incident, crime, which is once again perceived by the victim or any other person to be motivated by hostility against someone's transgender or gender identity, blah, 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 blah.
The Labour Party at a conference promised that if they get into power, they will also make it so that any speech or action that is perceived to be anti-woman will also be a crime.
Well, they're going to have some trouble there with all of the trans activists they support, aren't they? Owen Jones is going to be out of a job.
Well, no, they're going to have a problem with women. Like, women talking S about other women in gendered ways, let's put it that way. She's a whore, blah, 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 blah. That's all going to be a crime as well.
This is true.
We're going to have to lock up every woman who's ever been ever so slightly bitchy.
You're winning me over. lock up all of the women. Okay, you've got me interested. Go on.
They'll all be in prison.
Yes.
Okay.
Where they're not causing trouble.
Okay.
Obviously.
My own fiancé will go to prison. Everything's fine. Okay, well...
exactly. You know, I get some bloody peace and quiet for once.
Right.
No. But there was also something regarding a new hate crime bill being attempted to be passed this year. The government is trying to secure the enactment of it by the end of this year. I have looked into it a bit, and they are saying that they're trying to make it more friendly to free speech. But if you've missed the link at the bottom of this article, John, if you could just get that up, because there is a tweet that goes into this bill and finds that, as well as saying things about, oh, we want to protect free speech, we don't want to stop people from being able to say nasty things just because some people don't like it, they also redefine gender. They give you the new definition of what gender is, which is going to be the official state definition of gender. I can only assume if they're going to start prosecuting people over it, which is that gender means the gender of a person or the gender which a person expresses as the person's preferred gender or with which the person identifies, and includes transgender and a gender other than those of male and female. Which might be a hell of a word salad.
I think I might need a minute.
Yeah, I know. I know reading already isn't your strong suit, so...
How many freaking times they use the word... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... Yeah, 6.
6 times, and who knows what it means in that time. So they've used the gender word to define the gender word.
Hang on, wait. This is... I just realised the
word
the
gender
is...
to define gender.
Gender means the gender.
Fantastic. But as far as I can tell...
We pay these people to make this.
Well, we don't choose to.
Yeah,
They take my money and then they do this, and then they prosecute me for not understanding.
Gender is the gender. I mean, it is as good as trans women are women because women are trans women.
Either way,
actual circular definitions.
What it actually means is just like intersectionality. It's just intersectional. Gender means intersectional gender, which means that if somebody says that they're a thing, that that means that they are a thing. So I'm a frying pan because I say I'm a frying pan because that's my gender now. I use pan and pan self pronouns, and I'll.
Are you pansexual?
Oh dear. I must be. I must be. I'm only attracted to other pans. But yeah, so Cambridge University in education.
Call that potted pan.
Non-stick.
That's going to get weird. Stop it there.
There you go. Let's stop there. Because Cambridge University is rubbish. Don't send your kids there and get Duolingo instead.
Not sponsored. Going to be denounced by Duolingo by the end of this.
Good. We need to be denounced by everyone.
Hello, folks. Welcome to How to End Racism Clash 1. Lesson one.
Wait, no, that's not a good start.
You might think this is a bit of a tall claim to say that we have figured out how to end racism. It's there will be no more racism by the end of this segment, ever again. It's good to know, I'm sure.
I don't want you to get rid of my racism. I like my racism.
Well, we've got all the highest, biggest brain left-wingers in the world. They've all come together at theguardian.com, and they've told us how to finally end racism. And all we have to do is they say, and it'll be gone forever, because no one's left-wing ideas have ever destroyed the world.
Is it them just saying, don't be racist?
No, they're actually arguing that if we're more racist, it will come full circle, and racism will be gone.
Will it also involve destroying English culture?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that goes without saying.
But thinking of some big brain left-wing ideals, we'll start off with just mentioning there is a book club on the website, so this is the final installment of the Frank Dacotta trilogy on Maoist China.
That was in complete wrong order, but...
Yeah, this is the first book in the three... Whatever. So it's...
in the final of the trilogy, Callum covers the first book of the trilogy.
So do go and check it out. It's free for a small time being, so go do that before it runs out of time. Otherwise, we shall look at the greatest left-wing minds of our time who have all come together to solve this problem. Now, they might not have a good track record of solving such problems, such as previous examples. Only 10 million dead in that book.
And they stop using this art style. I hate it so much.
We shall load up the article Harry's already moaning about, and we have the title. What one change would you make to achieve black equality in Britain? Our panel writes.
That's a very dangerous question.
Yeah, remember, before we go forward, we are going through black equality is their definition of ending racism here. Now, what does that actually mean? It will mean that black people in their totality, in all statistical analysis, will have exactly the same outcomes, interests, jobs, wealth, anything on every level will be exactly the same as every other racial group. Presumably the number of white people within the black community will be equal to the number of white people in the white community by that definition. Because this is the thing, equality is pointless.
So if we want equitable treatment, we'll need an equitable distribution of N-word passes as well.
That too.
We'll have to sign up for one.
No one suggests that in here, but we'll go through their suggestions, because remember, we're not big brain left-wingers like these people. So we're just talking nonsense. Whereas they have the facts. Such as one left-wing big brain individual, Lenny Henry. Okay, wasn't expecting that. We need radical empathy, not racial sympathy, he writes. Over the years, I have argued for a number of policies to increase racial equality in media. From a diversity tax break to be ring-fenced for funds for marginalised production companies.
Wait, is he just saying that blacks don't pay taxes? Is that his suggestion?
No, the blacks shouldn't pay taxes. Only blacks in media companies, though.
Oh, okay.
So privileged black people.
Oh, all
bourgeois
right.
Black people should not have to pay tax. They should have tax breaks.
All right.
For being black in media.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know how that's going to end racism, but we'll keep with it. He also says, I've even helped set up a Centre for Media Diversity at Birmingham City University to not only research, but to advocate for better policies. So a racist lobbying group is what he set up. So we got tax cuts for rich black people in media and set up racist lobbying groups.
We need to fire more white people.
Okay.
The English film industry needs to have no English people in it.
It's an argument to ending racism. But he says here, simply put, there is no silver bullet when it comes to racial equality, but at the core of everything we're fighting for is the need to better understand each other and our different perspectives and values, which is why you're fired for being white. We must get past simple racial sympathy, just feeling sorry for victims of racism. don't, you're happy to have them gone. And move towards radical empathy, putting yourself in the shoes of someone who isn't like you and trying to experience what they are going through is perhaps the answer to this age-old question, he writes. Yes, Lenny. Imagine being told, for example, that you can't have this job because you're white. Imagine what that might do to a young white guy who was born during Tony Blair's sake. I just want to bring back to, you remember that image where you have like the little Japanese girl and it's like blaming her for Pearl Harbor, is like blaming this little white girl for slavery. And you remember, this is what all this is based upon. It's like, well, you know, there were past injustices, so we must have
that
this
means
guy.
That it's your fault somehow.
I know he was born during Tony Blair's reign in office, but basically responsible for slavery.
Is this just you?
No, but this has happened to a lot of people. And
well, to be fair, before I got massively red-pilled and I was applying for positions and apprenticeships at a BBC, it was something that you found quite often, just like a diverse entrance will be preferred.
Yeah.
There you go.
Being racist against applicants, tax cuts for rich black people in media, and setting up a racist lobbying group. I'm not convinced by that one. I think Lenny's not hit the mark with that proposal. Before we go further, I just want to step off for a moment and just take a look at diversity in media.
Oh, I remember this.
That Lenny Henry is so adamant about. This is in adverts. If anyone's wondering, if you watch British adverts, you may come to the conclusion that about a third of Britain is black and, you know, maybe a fifth is Asian, etc., being Pakistani. No, it turns out. And the reason you might have that perception is from the data. This is Channel 4, well-known far-right outlet. They decided to look at people in adverts. They're right here. Representation of different ethnicities has remained flat despite a perceived increase following BLM movement and racism education. Brainwashing since that. Well, what's happened? So we have 37% of TV ads in the UK feature black people, despite being 3% of the population.
That's a new despite.
37% of the ads feature black. Okay. It's a bit of an overrepresentation. But what is that? 1,000%?
Yeah, but it's not good enough, though, Callum.
No, it's not.
It's just not good enough.
No, we need tax breaks for those people because they're in media. 15%.
Oh, yeah, that's what we need. We just need to fill the industry full of them and then not tax them as well. Okay, all right. Yes.
50% of TV ads feature South Asian people. So this is Pakistani and Indian. Despite being 7% of the population, so that's 200% overrepresentation right there. 8% of TV ads feature East Asian people, this big Chinese, etc., despite being 1% of the population. That's a huge overrepresentation again, except you'll notice one of these groups doesn't endlessly whine about such socialist things as racial equality. You never get articles talking about how the Chinese are being kept down by the white supremacist patriarchy, blah, 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 of the UK. Funny that. So it's almost like the Orientals know the dangers of socialism. But back to our race gurus, who have something to tell us. We have Dr. Kojo Kuram, who teaches at the School of Law in Birkbeck, University of London. Very prestigious law school. Very hard to get in, so he must be a big brain leftist. Come and tell us this.
And judging by that picture, he's got a pretty big skull for a bit, pretty big brain.
He's come here to tell us, what is the solution to black equality within the UK? The easiest change, he writes, we could make to undermine structural racism would be to change our drug laws. The current system of criminalizing drug possession and supply has been a conveyor belt that feeds young black men into the criminal justice system. Yeah, it's a crime to have drugs and sell them. So if we get rid of that...
Listen, there is an easy solution. Just be smarter about how and where you do drugs.
He says it starts with stop and search. So his solution for black equality is to stop arresting black people for having drugs.
Well, it's
pretty racist.
I mean, the idea is stop
one thing.
The idea is stop racial profiling. But the thing is, racial profiles come about for a reason.
Well, it's not even that. The Metropolitan Police, who are the ones accused of this, are the wokest police force on planet Earth. They go out of their way to not do such things,
and yet they still
they're still
by
the
pure
ones,
happenstance.
It's because it's not about the race of the person they're searching. It's about where the person is. How well, guilty they look when they're shoving around, sweating, being like, don't talk to me. And also smelling of marijuana is also a pretty big giveaway of someone in the possession of drugs. A fifth of all arrests of black people, he writes, result from stop and search. Okay, well, yeah, dealing drugs.
The funny thing is that...
You can't be arrested if you don't have any drugs on you.
Well, yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, like you say, the smelling of marijuana will probably get them to stop and search you. But if you do just have, like, a tiny little bit on you, they'll probably just give you a slap on the wrist and go away, whatever.
Yeah.
It's if you have the harder, more criminal stuff on you that you're really in trouble.
Or an amount that a dealer might have.
Perhaps.
But there's also just, even if, we'll assume for a minute, we'll take it your point, that the wokest police force on Earth are actually all secret Klansmen. They just hate black people. Whenever they see them, they're like, I'm going to stop him searching. Why? Because he's one of them. Okay, that's reality in which you live, Mr. Law Professor. In which case, why are they still able to arrest lots of black people for drug possession if they don't have any drugs on them? No, they do have the... That's the reason
every single time they must be planted. Every single time.
Anyway. Black people are then more likely to be prosecuted if arrested, and be convicted if prosecuted, and imprisoned if convicted of drug crimes. Yeah. You know what else that rule applies to? Any Caribbean nation. Funny that. It's. I don't know why Jamaica would be so white supremacist as to also have the same pattern as we do. It's almost like there are differences within communities. And therefore, certain communities might be, you know, engaged in certain crime more than others, and others engaged more in their crime than the previous group.
Well, I mean, what's the percentage of black representation in adverts in Jamaica? We need to find this out. It's for research.
I thought we'd just have a side note. We'll also check in on the prison population whilst he's bringing it up. Nothing you might not know. We have here, this is the newest data. This came out, I think, 6 days ago. This is the newest data we have. The BAME population is overrepresented in the prison population, just like the adverts. The prison population, 27% of those identify as an ethnic minority compared to 13% in the general population. Interesting. We have the two biggest outliers in overrepresentation here. We have the white population of the prison, which is 72% of the prison.
We're underrepresenting, though, look.
Meant to be 88% of the population, so...
White people, need to pump those numbers up, boys.
White people not committing enough crime. Whereas black or black British overrepresented by quite a margin.
And that's the kind of criminal ethic you want to see in the white community.
Well, no, you just solve those numbers, perhaps. If we go to the next one here, we can actually see the more interesting graph is not race. Race is not very interesting for the British context. It's just religion. Far more disproportionate in the numbers. Muslim prisoners have increased from 8% of the population of prisoners in 2002 to 17% in 2022. And the last data we have for them is they make up 4% of the country.
And let's be fair as well, that's after the police consistently cover for them.
Yes, we have that in many such an example. The Christians, not committing crime.
Not committing enough crime.
No. The Hindus, also committing no crime. Very sad. We need racial equality. Remember.
Very sad, very sad.
Because when you say racial equality, the goal is that the numbers match, Mason. They must line up. My spreadsheet
what
must
they
be
mean,
correct.
Mason?
So the fact that the Hindus aren't committing any crime, 0% of the population, rounded to the nearest percent, but 2% of the population, the solution is more Hindu crime, less Muslim crime, and more Christian crime, and less atheist crime. I see you, gaytheist. I'm joking, I'm an atheist too, but still, it's just the fact that, like, you know, the atheists are disproportionately committing crime as well. That needs to be stamped down on. But back to the race gurus, because that guy didn't seem to give us much to work on either, it turned out. We have Lola Okolosi. Look, it's a foreign tongue. My tongue can't do that.
Okolosi.
Yeah, sure.
I assume.
Is an English teacher and writer focusing on race, politics, and education and feminism. Local unemployed woman is what that should read.
Local useless woman.
She writes, in English schools... The stories and contributions of black people have either been erased or reduced to a history of capture and conquest. For our education to be truly equitable, we need our government to follow the lead of its Welsh counterpart and mandate the English curriculum be diversified to reflect and incorporate the experiences of black and minority communities. Yuck-a-gummers.
Yeah, when it comes to brainwashing kids in school, they either take the two tracks that are either... The blacks have been completely vital in every element of English history until they get to the whole colonization part, at which point it is only capture and conquest that they want to talk about.
There's that. She ends off with, until it does so, black children remain at the mercy of an insidious feedback loop. I don't know what on earth she's saying. So the English curriculum currently tries to reflect the historical reality and not the narrative in your head, the voices in your head, maybe I should say. And that's a problem because it's a vicious feedback loop in which black kids look at the Celts, for example, and don't see any black Celts.
It's almost like their ancestors come from a different place than England and Scotland.
Just to remind ourselves, it's not unlike the fact that the British Broadcasting Corporation, the state propaganda arm, has tried to do this. We have here Life in Roman Britain from BBC Teach. 8,000 dislikes on that one.
Average Mediterranean man right there.
This is in Britain, it's meant to be. This chap, the black guy. And the argument being that, well, the Roman Empire spans all
we
of...
We was English, bruv.
Well, no, it's more the argument that this guy could be a Numidian mercenary sent to England. There's no record of that. But the voices
but
in my head...
he could have been, though.
The voices in my head, right, Sir Lola, tells me something else happened. We also have black Celts, of course. This is Boudicca resisting the Romans before they arrived. Well, then the Romans were there, I should say. In which case, we have Boudicca's warriors, including Jamal.
just out of shot is Lucretia.
If we go to the next one here, we have Iron Age Britons as well. The local Iron Age blacksmith there from Numidia.
That's just soot. That's just soot, obviously, from being at the forge all day.
No. Black people are vital to all of British history. From all points in all times and all places, there were black people in all of British history. Which is why, when, I believe it was Henry III or whatever, there was a black guy who turned up to Britain. And because he was black, he was made a member of the king's court, and his only job was to blow a trumpet. Because the king
he
found
was
it...
there.
Well, the king just found him funny. It was just really interesting to have a black person around. Because
we don't get many of you.
Yeah. So there's a
the BBC begs to differ.
There's a very famous like a mural or whatever of this
yeah,
guy.
I've seen this.
Blowing his horn, and I'm sure he had a great time. There's no mistreatment or anything. But the point being that this guy was of such note that not only was he made a member of the king's court
just for being there.
there's like murals of this guy just because he was there. And funnily enough, that might tell us the black people were quite rare in English history until, oh, I don't know, England turned up in Africa, perhaps, and set up our colonies. I know that historical reality might not vest with Lola's voices in her head, but anyway...
Nah, mate, we was Brits.
I don't think that's going to solve racism either, Lola, just making up reality. Back to the race gurus. We have one more that might be able to help us. Diane Abbott. Oh, God. Diane Abbott, make our politics anti-racist.
Which basically means give me more money.
Well, what is Diane going to say? It's never something normal. Britain has its first ever prime minister of colour. Shut up, you American. No one uses that phrase here. Rishi Sunak's ascent to the top position in British politics is noteworthy. Okay. Not to me.
He's going to be rubbish.
Whatever.
I don't care.
But when it comes to race equality and politics, representation is only part of the equation. She writes. That's an amazing sentence. Being at the top of society is only part of the equation. Non-whites being successful is not enough for non-whites to be free in England.
Well, yeah,
to be able to get any point in British society, any position of power, that's not enough for racial equality.
Of course, what they're saying is that he needs to be a representative of the Indian consciousness, like the racial consciousness.
Not even that. Because she's arguing it's about racial equality. Her spreadsheet doesn't match up. That's unironically the socialist complaint. There are literally no barriers to a person with brown skin becoming as successful as they wish in England. But that's not important, writes Diane Abbott. The important bit is my spreadsheet that doesn't accurately represent the people. Okay.
Oh, and she throws out the austerity word to really freak out all of the Guardian readers as well. Fantastic.
More important is whether the political system is prepared to acknowledge institutional racism and do something about it. What if there isn't any, Diane? What if we did multiple studies about it and found none? What if we were in such a system that ethnic minority overrepresentation in positions of power was the reality, and in which case it would be really weird to try and call that a systemically racist system against them? No, that's where we live. So that doesn't make any sense either. The austerity he desires will impact black and brown Britons hardest, more than anyone else. Cutting government spending is going to hurt people with brown skin. Thing is, this is on the base of it true, but I don't think Diane's ever looked at another spreadsheet other than hers, because here we have percentage of households in average weekly income bands by ethnicity. You'll notice that, yeah, at the bottom, you've got Pakistani at the very bottom for the high earners, then Bangladeshi, and then people with black skin. And you have white British below the average as well. But at the top there, you have Indian and Chinese, the Indian-Chinese super race, unironically dominating British society. And honestly, just by being based.
John just shaking his fist in triumph over there.
Yeah, unironically. No, don't feel ashamed about it. None of feel ashamed.
You're only second place, though, John.
I mean, Rishi Sunak seems to have been promoted on the basis of his race, which is cringe. But the Chinese, certainly not. I've never seen a position in which the Chinese are being discriminated in favor of.
They're John just... V. Ranveer when?
Well, we'll see it. anyway, but if we go to the next one, we have who actually benefits from all this, obviously just being the fact that it's
degenerate.
But we have other erase gurus. We have someone who came out and said, encourage black creatives.
How are we not?
In theatre, I want to see more black creatives. Given the opportunity to create in a way that is not limited by what we called black work.
I mean, literally, just look at Brixton in London. The black creatives are diversifying by also being criminals. It's incredible.
Well, she says in theatre, she's talking about this, not some joke. And she's saying she wants black creatives to be given more funding in the theatre to do non-black work. Now, lady, next image, please. I don't know if you've seen it. This, typically...
this was not considered a black role historically.
You use the term black work... You know, like midget work or something. Like midgets usually play roles of like leprechauns or elves or something. Black people usually play roles for, you know, black people in historical dramas, for example.
You're right, actually. That's a massive weak point in equity. We need to get midgets represented playing Andre the Giant in the new biopics.
That is also unironically what we are looking at. The argument being, which is you should be able to play anything you want. Well, I look forward to the big friendly giant being played by that guy who hung around with Carl Pilkington, whose name I've forgotten right now.
Warwick Davis. There you go.
Anyway, we'll move to the
that
race.
That would be funny. I'd watch that.
That would actually be. Hey, that's actually quite a funny thing to do for a play now I think about it.
No, it's especially funny because Warwick Davis, even among midgets, is especially small.
Yeah, but
he's got a special condition.
But my point being, it would be kind of subversive and anti-woke to make a play in which all the characters are obviously cast just wrong. Like the giants played by a midget, the small characters are played by giants.
We have me playing the woman king.
Yeah, like all the guys are in drag, all the women play men.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Yeah. It would be funny. Anyway, back to the race gurus, because that one didn't work either. I don't think that's going to end racism. Yes, one guy says, treat children as children, not suspects. It's amazing the Chinese kids never complain about that. But anyway, there's another guy comes up with, black history is history. Teach it all year round. Look, we've seen your grip on history. Their voices in your heads, so I'm not going to trust you with that.
Well, I mean, I'm not entirely... against that, if only because it's like, well, if it's relevant,
no, teach history all year round.
That's the thing. If it's relevant to the history that's already being taught all year round, then bring it up.
If the history is relevant to the history, then I think it's valuable. But if the history is relevant to the voices in your head that tell you that there were black Celts fighting with Boudicca against the Romans, no. If you're wondering, that guy there, he's not a nobody either. He's a member of the House of Lords. Very, very big brain on that one. You know, the next comment, we have someone saying, make space for black Britons in the art industry. I don't know if you could be more bourgeois. I mean, this lady here looks bourgeois as hell anyway, for people listening, but this is your concern. More black Britons in the arts industry. That'll end racism.
Do we need to refer back to the Channel 4 advert breakdown?
Yep. She writes, 1980s house clubs that were once almost exclusively black and now dominated by white punters.
You made it too inclusive.
What's the problem?
Surely this is the diversity you're asking for.
No, literally the argument is that I don't like white people.
Well, I mean,
moving on. I don't think she's
obviously they don't.
But I don't think she's going to end racism either. So, opinion disregarded. Someone else to come up with an end to pernicious race science. She's from Decolonizing Contraception. This lady. She writes, the myth that our skin color makes us intellectual.
Wait, what? Decolonizing what?
Contraception.
What?
I don't know either.
Okay, all right.
A lot of her stuff just seems weird. She writes, the myth that our skin color makes us intellectually inferior and that those do succeed academically are a rare breed. The notion that black people are better suited to physical jobs. And I'm just thinking to myself while reading that, who are you hanging out with? Who thinks like this?
She's there with Richard Spencer.
Yeah, she's been hanging out with Richard Spencer every day. It's like, don't you know there are all these myths that black people are this, black people are that? I was like, Maybe in your circles. Not for me, but whatever. Someone else writes...
I mean, I will say, this breakdown, this article, is not lending credence to the opposite of that argument.
I'm not thinking that we're going to actually solve racism by the end of this.
Sadly, this article is not bringing their best, these drooling morons.
No, these people are bad representatives. Someone else comes up with a new chapter for Black Britons in publishing. Yeah, oh. We'll get the next link for this. I don't think we need any more leg ups in the idea of diversity hires to tell us about why white people are bad.
And there's that book as well by Akala, which I see all the time whenever I go into Waterstones, that's called Natives, and it's just him whining about people being mean to him when he was growing up.
But Cambridge educated elites telling us about how the world is terrible for them. I mean, that's what I mean. This whole list is unbelievably bourgeois. I don't think they realize that the people writing in this, because they just live bourgeois lives and they think this is all life is. Whereas, you know, the rest of us are actually dealing with reality. Back to the gurus. One of them says, make Britain's buildings reflect our diverse communities.
We need the Wakanda structures. Build mud huts into the side of skyscrapers. Do it.
Well, given the time of day, what the hell do you mean? He writes, given my Nigerian heritage, the UK's...
I'm very used to being in buildings made of manure.
Well, but that's not even true in Nigeria. So it's just like, well, the UK's colonial history is deeply personal to me. Look around our cities and its ongoing legacy can be felt in every aspect of urban design, from street names to materials of the buildings we occupy. Yes, lad. Britain is British.
Yeah, he's just furious that our culture and heritage reflects the culture and heritage of the country.
I know this is a shock to the system, to find out that Nigeria might be Nigerian too. I know, it's awful. No, it's not. It's what you would expect. Anyway... He continues, to drive forward black equality in the UK, we need to reckon with these hard truths and take steps to foreground the voices of those who have historically been ignored. I don't know who he's talking about, presumably idiots like him, because I imagine he has been ignored in the past. Otherwise, just not the case. There are plenty of black people working in architecture, if you're wondering, or on the councils that make these decisions, so it's not them. We need to invest time and resources in ensuring people from black communities have the tools to enter and succeed in a built-up environment sector. I don't know what that means. To create a future where all communities can thrive, we must be representative of the society we serve. I think he probably got paid to write 100 quid for this. I just decided to write nonsense. I don't know what any of that means. It doesn't tell me anything.
Good gig if you can get it.
Someone else comes up with, another guru. Let's radically transform our punitive institutions. This is a lady from the police's National Race Action Plan. She writes, black communities are on the receiving end of the worst discrimination in many areas of society, but we are not a monolith. Indeed, you're not a monolith. If we break down those numbers from earlier of those in prison, funnily enough, it's not black Africans who are overrepresented in the prisons. Not black Africans who are overrepresented in poor earners either. So, black Caribbeans. Yeah, it's weird that, if you break down the ethnic groups, you actually get more information. But she writes, we need to prioritize welfare over punitive action and move away from labels that stick with people for the rest of their lives. She works for the police. She wants to not be punitive to criminals, but instead give them welfare. Cool. Someone else comes up with, allow black people to be mediocre too.
You don't need our permission. I mean, come on.
No, they do, actually.
All right.
I'm very sorry to tell Athena here, but that was actually banned during the 1974 Stop Black Mediocrity Act that was passed by Parliament. It's a big shame.
The Uphold White Standards Bill.
She's arguing that black people are expected to be amazing at all times, all places. I'm like...
Where?
It's the idea of black excellence, etc. Diversity.
Isn't it just black people who go on about that?
No, it's diversity wokers who endlessly make adverts saying that if you're a minority, you should be a CEO, you should be leaving the country. She's actually moaning about woke propaganda.
I was going to say, actually, there's a little bit of a point there.
Which is quite funny. Someone else writes, celebrating ordinary black lives in films and books. Sorry, that's also a crime, so we can't do that. Shame. Respond finally to issues raised in the race reports. She lists all the leftist ones. Thing is, we actually investigated them, for people who don't know, in the UK, the government did, found that all of the claims of systemic racism were completely unfound, so let's put that in the bin. Someone else comes up with, confront the Rule Britannia image of Britishness. Instantly, I'm hostile.
Piss off.
That is. But he writes, no number of black cabinet faces, whatever the party and however much they embody the optics of diversity, will ever change Britain. So, okay. He's almost there.
And this guy also just looks very angry and like he hates me, so I'd rather he just leave.
It's a weird profile picture, but he writes here that essentially diversity makes no advantage. Yeah, they're people just like you and me.
They've horseshoed back round, finally.
Someone else writes, I want to see black people dive into swimming. This is a real article. They published this.
We're keeping jumping, though.
But yeah.
That's all ours.
I want to see discriminatory barriers that prevent people from taking part in opportunities in life broken down and washed away. Swimming has sadly been plagued by racist stereotypes and issues of accessibility, which have caused so many black people to never set foot in the water and take the first steps to learn to swim. Yeah, I am terribly sorry, but black people were stopped from swimming for all time in England because of the 1888 Ban Black People from Swimming Act, I think was passed.
That was my favourite one.
No, there was no law. There is nothing stopping black people from swimming. There never has been. Which is like, yeah, all those accessibility barriers.
I mean, it says there, she's a swimmer who represented Great Britain at the Tokyo Olympics. And, you know, congratulations for making it that far.
I know when you applied, they went, black person swimming.
Ooh, don't know about that one.
We at the Olympic Committee don't want to see this.
I know. But, you know, you managed to get there. Congratulations. You must be an inspiration. And if representation is supposed to be all it's cracked up to be, surely just her being there and swimming at the Olympics means that there was a massive influx of black kids going swimming, right?
No.
That's how representation works, right? You do the thing and you get seen doing the thing and then people do it.
She's done more than that. She has co-founded the Black Swimming Association.
And that's perfectly legal to do that.
But also, she says to do just that, we're trying to make sure that in swimming, equality becomes a reality for everyone.
But swimming is a competitive sport.
But no, but ignoring that, just the idea that we're teaching people to swim. First and foremost, can you not swim with other people? What do you mean you've set up the Black Swimming Association? As if like you need that or something to get people to swim. Funnily enough, when I went to the swimming pool, learning to swim, there were people of different races, and we didn't decide to...
Well, you didn't shove them all in the corner?
No, we didn't set up a Black Swimming Association.
Southerners are weird.
Where the black kids had to stay in the shallow end or something. Like, we just all got in the pool and learned.
Well, that was just because you were worried. I mean, obviously they can't swim. You best stay in the shallow end. Don't want to be too careful, can
you?
No,
but I love this. Just every one of these examples given is like, how do we end racism, folks? Well, what if we were more racist? Is every single one of these examples. And I'm arguing,
I love it.
What if you weren't racist? I know it's a radical policy, but it's also... Swimming equality. You ever heard such nonsense?
Mate, if you end racism, they can't. They can't be racist against white people. So,
but it's the point of Jordan Peterson's made it endless times. The more and more attributes you try and equalize, the more difficult that task not only becomes, but the whole pursuit becomes more and more laughable as you try and equalize swimming equality amongst the races. Not to mention amongst height as well, I presume. We must have equal access and ability to swim, because if short people and tall people are not able to swim equal amounts, that shows that there's heightism against tall
people.
You
stay away from me. I see you eyeing up my height.
I could swim more than you. Got the badges to prove it.
Yeah, well, I got an award from my hometown mayor.
That's pretty good, actually.
There you go.
Didn't copy that. Never mind. All right, yeah, short people, rise up. Take it from the tools. But it's also just, to actually end racism, what we've learned from this is you need to abandon equality. Unironically, that is my message from all of this. Because these people decided, they were like, we're going to end racism by instituting equality, which means that we must do it by being more racist. Funnily enough, setting up a black-only swimming club is not how you end racism. That's the lesson I've learned.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if you want to do that, you know, okay. But don't pretend that you're ending racism.
Stop being racist. Get in the pool with the rest of the kids. The hell are you guys doing? They're like, yeah, but we're still got the Black Panther swimming club. It's like, no. No, you're 13. Get in the pool. Anyway, let's go to the video comments.
Now that Twitter is in Elon's control, let's hope for some more fun stuff like meme wars. I believe progressives used to say, when you have privilege, equality feels like oppression. They're getting some of that, I guess. Happy Halloween.
That's really awesome.
It's the spider's cool, but also you're right on the money. Just before we started, Carl was mentioning us as well. Is we need to just line up every phrase they've ever used against us to oppress us, or just use it back at them, because they're experiencing equality, and they feel like it's oppression. None of them, zero, verified check marks, are even thinking they're going to be banned from Twitter.com.
No, of course not. Well, that's the thing.
They're going to be shadow banned.
He gets out and they all immediately go, well, I'm staying, I'm sticking around here, as if they're getting up on top of the mountain and going like, don't worry, guys, I will lead us, and everyone's there going, don't care.
You're
not in danger.
Not in the slightest. And yet you're acting like you are. It's ridiculous.
Oh my goodness. Is the Reddit haunted now?
Tony D and Little Joan with an announcement. I'm going to do a live stream tonight. I'll call it the live scream for Halloween. I'm going to do all the rest of the comments that you put in the lotuseaters.com Reddit page. So if you got a ghost story I haven't gotten to, come by the live stream tonight at 7 p.m. East Coast Standard Time. Also, I'm going to stay another month, and all next month I'm going to do Lotus Eaters White Pills and cheer you up. Thank you for the suggestion, C.S. Cooper.
Thank you.
Let's cheer the lads up.
Thank you. Thank you. And check that out later on today if you want.
Check
that sounds like it'd be fun. Yeah. Callum's going to be there. He's going to be like wrapped in a blanket. He's going to be shivering in his flat by himself going, ooh.
I was just thinking, for God's sakes, because I don't know about anyone else, but I'm not really a fan of Halloween, not being American for one. But also, I just, you don't get this with Christmas as bad that you do with Halloween, I feel, which is that everything has to be some stupid pun on the fact that it's spooky. And I'm not, like, you know, amazingly mad at it or anything, but just when he said live scream, I'm just like, oh my God.
You're such a grouch, Callum.
No, but like all morning I've had it as well, just checking out whatever, I don't know, pieces of media, stores and stuff. And just everyone has some stupid pun in relation to Halloween. I'm just like, oh, God. It's like your dad telling your dad jokes for a month straight. And I'm just at the end of my tether personally as a result of it.
All right, Callum Fun Police over here.
No, you go ahead and do it. I just. Not for me. As we go to the written comments on the site, then. Never mind.
Did you hear him? He's muttering to himself now.
Yankee be gone. Freeball2112 says, where are the MPs for South Thanet, Dover and Folkestone who ought to be standing up for their constituents' concerns over the channel situation? Oh, they're telling us that something must be done. If only a position of power someone was in could help us. Anyway, back to my MP office. Freewill also says the discussion goes on and on, but there will be no change in the border situation and its cost to the taxpayers until we have some politicians in power who want to solve the problem. And there aren't any with any realistic prospect of real power at the moment. The current ruling class does not give a damn about the voting public once anyone any more than they will listen to the public about the effects of net zero or the cost of living crisis. The attack and procession centre will not achieve anything either. We need a mass political movement for change, though. Yeah, I mean, petty crime solves nothing. The question of who can solve this, as in politically, irritatingly, it is what it is, but it is what it is, which is that Nigel Farage is sat right now on a perfect opportunity, and if he wanted to solve this problem, as much as he may say he dislikes doing it, he needs to get back into the Reform Party, say he's going to run for election, you've got 2 years to organise it, and just win 5 seats. Who gives a crap? You're not going to take over the country, I know. But take back South Thanet. You've earned it, for one. Personally, him, regardless. And in which case, take 5 seats, be in Parliament, make the noise, and things will happen. But it all rests on him, irritatingly. Ignacio Spanish says, I don't want to be put on a tinfoil hat, but the lack of details, the lackluster attack, and the disappearance of the perpetrator, on top of him committing suicide immediately, I don't know, but it glows a bit in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not...
As you were describing the details, and it's like, oh, we know no details of this man, and also he committed suicide immediately after at some random gas station.
No body. No one took any photos.
Nobody saw it happen.
No.
Other than one conveniently placed Reuters photographer.
Who saw the throwing, but not the suicide, which mysteriously happened off screen.
And who managed to catch a very nice clear photo of this man, proving that white terrorism does exist in the UK.
Yeah. Omar Awaj says, illegals crossing the channel is a conspiracy theory. They're only crossing in small numbers. Illegal immigration is a good thing, actually. It's your fault that illegal immigrations are criminals. You're here. The next step is the English are legally occupying Diversistan. See, you say that as a joke, but that actually hurts, because that's true.
That is where we will get to. Also, Diversistan, does that mean The diverses?
I know what they're going to do. They're unironically going to argue that the Anglo-Saxons came here as migrants.
Wait, so are we suggesting we just return to Celts?
No, that we are as valid to this land as those turning up on the boats now, and therefore we are, of course, illegally occupying Dagestan.
So, having been here for like 1,500 years...
That means nothing.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Just as much as a traveller as the Irish. Anyway.
I guess...
Thane Scotty of Swindon says, to be fair, Callum, the public wouldn't necessarily be aware of the issues caused by the left if not for the actions of public figures like Farage and Robinson, and there certainly wouldn't be a widespread unified resistance to it, i.e. Brexit victory or the election of Trump. As such, the problem for the left is the people who point out the problem. The left are correct, but for the wrong reasons. Indeed, you're quite right, Thane, which is the problem for the left is not the problem, it is those doing the backlash. Shaker Silver says, whether intentional or not, sheer incompetence. The Tory failure on immigration is doing wonders for radicalising people against migrants.
Evidently.
There wouldn't be this sort of racist reaction, as they call it, if the country wasn't being flooded. Yeah, people upset about having to sleep with hammers. Didn't used to have to sleep with hammers. So pathetic as well, hammers. What have we been reduced to? Where's my musket?
Well, that's the thing. I sleep with
a woman.
Yes, and also I have a baseball bat near the door just in case, because I don't want to live like that. I would much prefer to have a gun in my drawer next to my bed, but you know, gotta take my chances.
I've technically got a spear, I'll put it that way. I think you've seen it, haven't you?
Like, I've been to your place, but I don't remember seeing the spear.
Well, you know, the bayonet on the end of the... Anyway, Taffy Duck says, Dover was a false flag. Reuters Journo just happened to have a camera ready. Yeah, I won't read all that because I'll be repeating myself, but yeah. Sophie Lev Peterson, to uplift you all, I just read an article this morning from The Sun, where a migrant family of 8, 2 parents and 6 children, are complaining that they are forced to live with 2 separate houses separated by a road.
During the housing crisis. Fun.
They get 2 houses. It's separated by a road. The horror. And then read the article to figure if it's ridiculous as it sounds, and yes, it is. Multiple other solutions have been offered to them, and they all decline those offers, all of them. And while the dad seems to be working, the mum is not, and somehow they can afford 2 houses.
It's not them who're paying for it.
No. I saw an article from the Telegraph. I'm just going to skip over the rest of this section because I'm just going to be sad, but I'll tell you real quick.
Well, I'm sad anyway, so.
There was an article from the Telegraph telling you... So given the increase in the mortgage rate, so it used to be like 2% interest, now it's 5%, 6%. If you actually wanted to buy a house right now on the same payments that were before, you quickly, as in the last month, need to happen to have just found £86,000 down the back of your sofa to have the same rates of payment.
I'm sure the MPs can find that for themselves, but you and I, less so.
Well, these beggars can. I'm sorry, but I can't stand it.
Let's move on. So, on to the Cambridge Uni. Dirty Belter, interesting name, says, I find the term turf to be very offensive. How dare they call me a feminist? I know, right? I know. So, thankfully, I've never been called a turf to my face, but if I was, I'd be very insulted. Freewill 2112, I hope people realise just how fanatical and dangerous these loons have become. This onward march of this insanity will end in either the breakdown of society or a totalitarian society that will make Stalinism look like a holiday camp. Yeah, I mean, we've got it coming in from all sides. We've got the migrants on one side coming in and changing the culture and being just, you know, babied by the politicians. And at the other side, we've got the...
Don't stop calling them migrants.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The beggars. We've got the beggars on one side, and then we've got the radical lunatics and the universities on the other side, and it's just... Captain Charlie the Beagle says, the fact that Cambridge lecturers think they have the right to alter a foreign language is a testament to how entitled they are. I mean, this is the same we got with Latin X and such. This is cultural imperialism in its perfect form. Also, if I remember correctly, the last person to try and alter aspects of the German language was the mid-century Austrian with the funny mustache. Interesting comparison.
Did he?
I don't know.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, you can
it's
check.
It's also the crazy thing he would do, because the socialists kept doing that to the Russian language.
I mean, he was on meth, so... you do start to say some funny things when you're on that. Freewill 2112 again. So new speak is now a reality at Cambridge. Yes, it is. It's official. Jussie Sopenen says, the protesters at Cambridge, did they have brown shirts? The tactic feels familiar. Possibly. X, Y, and Z, E, says, and so another respected institution of higher learning and inquiry is essing on what it stands for. This is what one gets when education is treated as a commodity and has to pander to a consumer base. It's a very good point. I don't know if it would still be the same. It might still be the same, but obviously Tony Blair and such opened up the universities during his time as Prime Minister, so who knows if it would be any different. I mean, we are living as we are living at the moment, aren't we? Can't really change it, except moving to the future. Small L Libertarian, remind me again, why did we stop using fire hoses and German shepherds on annoying leftists? Because the annoying leftists are in charge. George Happ, back in the day I did apply to Cambridge, but I wasn't accepted. Boy, did I dodge a bullet. Not that other universities are much different. 95% of higher education is utterly useless, correct. So I hope fewer people waste their money on it. We can only hope. Anon Imi says, my girlfriend went to Manchester recently for work. She noted the exact same thing. It's a complete clown city. Even her office had people walking around like clowns. Manchester is not a real city. It's the Globo Homo advertising city. Yeah, it's the same. You go to lots of cities across England and across Europe, and they do have that sort of samey feel to them. It's quite depressing because you want to go to a city and be engulfed in the culture and the history of the place, but
you've got to go to a village to find that.
Yes, you do. Sophie Peterson says, I think the real harmful speech here is that insisting that Lupron, also called puberty blockers, are totally safe and can't possibly cause harm. That's grossly offensive to me. Arrest them. I stand by that statement 100%. Lord Nerevar, had an experience a couple of years ago at university. I went to Cardiff, and at Cardiff the student union would do an annual freshers' fair where the student societies would go to attract new members for that academic year. I decided to go, and outside I encountered a pair of socialist chuckleheads, that's a great term, we should use it more often, trying to get people to sign a petition to kick out Boris Johnson. I told them that they were idiots, and they both started reeing at me. As I went inside, I chanted, seize the means of production, mockingly, and a guy in a high-vis jacket who was clearly a working-class bloke doing some cleaning gave me his approval. Just British university things. At least that sounds like a fun little story. Let's move on to your next comments.
I was just looking up. Apparently the party basically just reused words to mean things that they didn't want you to know were happening.
Yeah.
So, special treatment.
Easy tactic.
You guess what special treatment is?
Special treatment... Okay, which party are we talking about here?
The Nazi party.
The Nazi party, okay. Special treatment, I assume, meant to the camps?
It means death. Execution.
Don't worry. We're going to give you the special treatment.
Well, husband is in special protection.
Oh, okay.
That sort of thing. And then special treatment has happened to him. Lord Nerevar says, I always find it amusing when race activists try to rub it in our faces that some of our ancestors were black and our history has always been heavily influenced by black people in the UK. Because I don't care. Apart from getting their facts wrong constantly, it's totally immaterial to me where the colour of my ancestors and favourite historical figures are. Morgan Freeman was right on racism. If we want to end it, we need to stop talking about it. Yeah, it's also, obviously for most black people, comical. It's just, why are you doing this? Obviously they weren't black counts. What's wrong with you? It really is just these people. Colin P says, and let's not forget that the best way to end racism is for white people to buy a ticket to see Wakanda Forever and give it to a black person and then keep all of their fellow whites away from the cinema. I remember that being argued.
Yeah, I'm not buying the ticket, but I am more than happy to stay as far away from Wakanda Forever as possible after Connor forced me to watch Black Panther, which was awful, and you can watch that on Lotus Eaters if you're a premium subscriber.
Captain Charlie the Beagle says, this whole Guardian article on stopping race is just them saying they want to live on a TV program, Noughts and Crosses, a fantasy series where Africans conquered Europe and live in a racially segregated society. I'm not familiar with Noughts and Crosses. So.
I'm not familiar. I do wish, I know that after Game of Thrones ended, the two showrunners wanted to do an HBO show called Confederate, which was like an opposite day history drama where it was going to be the blacks were the Confederates in charge of slavery, and they got that taken down before they could do anything with it. And I just think that's a shame. Imagine that. Would have been great.
So a while back, we came up with the idea of redoing the movie Zulu and race swapping the two sides.
Call it Baz.
No, call it Zulu.
Oh, all right.
You know how they race swap stuff and re-release it, and it's an attempt to demoralize you.
So I've just got a mental image of North FC coming over the horizon with spears.
That's exactly the
spear in one hand, so Stella in the other.
Scene opens at Rorke's Drift. Lenny Henry, Zulus, sir. Thousands of them.
I got it perfectly right.
Thousands of overweight gamins in cowhide shaking spears. How wide do you want the goal? How wide? Zulu 2023 remake coming to a cinema near you. The Daily Wire. No, come on, reach out. Let's do it.
No, actually, I would watch that one.
God, if the Daily Wire are going to fund movies, that's the one movie they need to make.
The North FC Charge.
Because there's nothing in, I think, American culture where the race swapping would work so seamlessly as obvious subversion than Zulu. So you've got to do it. Reese Sims says, how to end racism in the words of Morgan Freeman. Stop talking about it. Indeed. And that is the solution I'm getting from that article too, which is none of these people are here to help. They're all here to make it worse. Anyway, we're out of time, so if you'd like more from us, lucidus.com, of course, to go and check out the stuff I mentioned, especially the free things, because they're only free for a little while until they're not free. Otherwise, we will be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you, and goodbye.